Good morning to you. Praise the Lord. Let me just say to you, I enjoyed this weekend so very much. You guys are blessed in that you have this facility in the basement, the house I'm living in. Thank you. And also for the wonderful people that just come together and make this happen. Make it happen. You have to make it happen. God is great, and I thank you. It was a beautiful display. It was a display of the body of Christ at work, is what it was. And you all did your job, and we all had a good time. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank God for your pastor. Let me just tell you something. Your pastor called us maybe 2, even 3 months ago and says, look, in October, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary in this building, and no pressure. But if you could come, we'd be delighted to have you, because I was here when you on your dedication service 10 years ago. Now, I wasn't there when you first began a church 25 years ago. I was just a kid then. I don't know how Greg got to be a pastor, and I'm still a kid, but that's the way it was. But anyhow, he said, no pressure for you, but if you can come, you'd certainly be welcome. I think he probably didn't mean for us to move in. But just be careful when you invite your parents to do anything. They'll do it. Now, we'll just do it. We were looking for a place to eat and sleep, and the Lord was so good that he allowed us to come and to be here. So we're here, and I don't know how long we're going to be here. I'm hoping till Jesus comes. Not necessarily in Greg's house, but in this place, in the house of the Lord, okay? So we're happy to be with you today. And I'm delighted to see all of you. God bless you. I'm especially happy to see friends whom I haven't seen in some time. From our church back in Oak Lawn or Burbank, and also in Worth, and how God has blessed them and continues to bless them, and he's blessed us all. When I first came, the only name I knew that I could trace was Frank Cerise, and Frank lived in Joliet, and I just blew my punchline there. Lived in Joliet, so I called him one day and I said, Frank, he said, who is this? What do you want? I said, this is the FBI and I needed to know. But he said, who is this? And I said, I'm Gary Linkus. Well, man, how are you? I haven't talked to you forever. Where are you? I said, I'm just down the road from you in Wilmington. Oh, man, that's so great. I said, well, where are you? He said, oh, I moved to Phoenix. Probably in anticipation of my coming, but I don't know that for sure. But we did. So anyhow, that I got in touch with him. I don't know if he's the one that contacted you guys or not. Okay, yeah, it's good. But I get a call yesterday, I think it was yesterday morning, from Sister Aretha Lawson, who was our church treasurer at the Southwest Church for many years, and said, she asked me, who am I speaking to? And I said, Gary Linkus. She said, I thought so. I didn't say what he want. But Gary Linkus. She said, well, we wanted to come see you here. You're here. And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, we're planning to come to church with you tomorrow. And I said, and I'm planning to preach tomorrow. So that worked out. It's not like they hadn't heard me hundreds of times, but we're here together again. And I'd like you to welcome them, Melvin and Aretha Lawson. I want you to welcome the Traficantos. I don't know your last name now, Jackie. Jackie? Olanger. Langer, okay. And Bob Bates. These were certainly wonderful people. Would you stand? Let us welcome you. Would you mind standing? Or not? Yeah, okay. Yes, stand. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. And for all of you, what a joy to see you. What a joy to see you today. I haven't done this for several months, by the way. I retired the end of July because I couldn't walk. I'm doing pretty good, however. I am doing good. After I got here, I got fitted for a new, what is called an AFO, an ankle foot orthotic that lets me walk. I fell, at least once a day. Sometimes as many as three times. When the paramedics came out the third time at about 2 or 3 in the morning to get me out of the bathtub, they didn't get me out of the bathtub because I fell in the bathtub. They came to get me out of the tub because I fell into the tub. I was standing next to the tub at the urinal, and I fell backwards and went into the bathtub and banged my head. And so they came and got me out that third time and said to Elaine, "Ms. Linus, you might ought to consider taking him to the hospital." So we did. And so I spent, but the last 3 weeks that we lived in Alabama, I spent in the hospital along with many other weeks. And God made it possible for us to be here. Thank you for those of you that came and helped us pack and move, and drive trucks. Did you drive a truck? No? Okay, my car. All right. But there are people helping. Thank you for that. God bless you. So here I am. Praise God. And I'm happy to be here, and I'm thankful to God for His goodness to us. And here we are beginning. This is the very first Sunday. I asked Greg, and he's not for sure when, and we don't know when. First Sunday was at Debbie Davis's house when she was Debbie Davis. Now she's got another name. Praise the Lord, and a wonderful husband to go with it. But some 25 years ago, they did that. So we're marking this day as the first Sunday of the beginning of the 26th year. When I was pastoring in Bessemer earlier this year in June, we celebrated the beginning of our 76th year. We celebrated 75 years, and now the 25th anniversary. And let's just continue to go till Jesus comes. What do you say? Let's just praise God for the opportunity and go till Jesus comes. Now, I'm going to talk to you today as we begin this new journey about the fact that we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of places to go. I love the fact that Caleb came to Joshua after 40 years and he said, "Joshua, Moses promised me when we came into this land, he'd give me this mountain, Mount Ephraim. He'd give me this mountain." Now here I am 45 years later, and here's what he said. "I want my mountain." Hallelujah. And that's what I'm wanting today. I'm 74 years old, and I'm feeling like a spring chicken. I'm sitting here amongst people that are 90 years old, my dear friend, Sunday school superintendent. What a wonderful, faithful man of God. He's 90 years old. Going to be 91 a little later this year. Is that great? Is that great? So I'm feeling like, hey, I could dance if I could make this leg work. But here's the deal. We can't give up 40 years, 45 years, any time. We've got places to go. And we got to go, you know why? Because God said, "I'm not through with you yet. You got a mountain to climb." And that's the subject of my message today. What about this mountain? What about this mountain? You got a mountain here. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with this mountain? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with my mountain. I'm going to climb it till Jesus comes. I'm going to climb it, Angelo, till Jesus said, "That's enough, Gary. You've proven to me that you're resilient and you're able and you're willing. Come on home." But not now. Not now. I'm just so happy to be here today and knowing the presence of God. Let me get into my message. Here's the scripture in Psalm 24 that we miswrote. It's okay, though. It's still a beautiful scripture. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face, O Jacob, Selah. And then listen to this. In Micah chapter 2, here's what God says. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, and in the house of God of Jacob, and he shall teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law goeth forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We still got places to go, friends, and we got mountains to climb. And let me tell you something about all those places we've got to go. They're all above our head. They're above us right now. We've come this far by faith, the scripture song says, trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, we got further to go, but it's all above our head. So we're still climbing mountains. So as we embark on this 26th year, I want to encourage each of us to pursue God's highest and God's best for all of us. And especially as I talk about Abundant Life Fellowship, this church. But in every aspect of your life, whatever it may be, business, in your career, in your relationships with your family and friends, continue to climb. God wants you to strive for excellence. Can I say that again? God wants you to strive for excellence. There's no place in this work for mediocrity. God wants us to attend to climbing the mountain of the Lord. So we want to climb it, whatever it is. If you want a good family, guess what? You got to climb a mountain. If you want a good job, you got to climb a mountain. If you're wanting a good career, if you're wanting somebody to understand that you're really worth having around, you got to climb a mountain. You got to pursue yourself going further and further up the hill. So God wants us to strive for excellence. And you do that so that we can be rewarded with success in every area of our lives. How many of you, you know the scripture in the first part of Joshua, God promises Joshua, and you shall have success in all your ways. Well, how is he going to have success in all his ways? He's going to climb some mountains. He's going to climb some hills. He's going to go up. He's not going to look at circumstances. He had already dealt with the circumstances, and here's what he said. We are well able to take the land. And God just counted that to him for righteousness. God said, if you're well able to take the land, then I promise you I'm going to give you success. And he will continue to do so as long as we walk with him. So our relationship with our mates, our families, with our Christian brothers and sisters, and people we walk with has ups and it has downs. If you're in a down right now, don't worry. It just means you got to climb some more. You got to climb up. Even our relationship with God is often compared to an ascent up a mountain. Do you know that? And I want us to talk about that for just a few moments. Would you do that? As we trace this mountain typology in the scripture, we see that many people had mountains to climb. Many great things happened in the Bible on a mountaintop. Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on a mountain. Moses received the commandments of God on a mountain. I said that twice because he had to get them twice. He got mad and broke them once. So he had to go back, and this time God wrote them the first time. The second time, God told Moses, do it yourself. You got to do it this time. So he went back up the mountain. He ascended to a mountain. We know that the prophet Elijah called out the prophets of Baal and said, let's see what your God can do. Well, that's a smart thing to do. When you got 400 enemies against you and you say, hey, what you got? Show me what you got. Well, God knew what he had, and they absolutely overcame on the top of the mountain. On the top of the mountain, God called him. God, Jesus Christ, called his disciples and took them up into a mountain, the scripture said. And there he gave them what we know now as the Sermon on the Mount. Not everybody heard that sermon. When Jesus looked around him and he saw all his people, the scripture said, and he went up into a mountain and sat down and he taught them. Well, you know how many he taught? Everybody that went up the mountain with him. Do you know how many God's going to teach in this building today? Everybody that will climb the hill with him. He's going to take us to where he would have us be so that he can tell us what he would have us know. So I want to climb that mountain just to hear the word of the Lord and what he would have me do today. So thank God we see mountaintop experiences all through the Bible. So thank God for that. And you know, we wonder about how we maintain or attain that intimacy with God. We go where God is. And God is on the mountain. So we call ourselves up. So we see these climbers who kept following the Lord. As you climb, may I suggest to you, as you climb, you're going to meet three classes of people. The number one you're going to meet, and the most you're going to meet, and the lowest you're going to meet, are quitters. How many of you know there's a lot of people decided they're going to serve the Lord and something went wrong? Something didn't go right. Something didn't go to please them. Something wasn't suited for them. And you know what? They fold up their tent, they hand in their rifle, and they go home. They go home. They say, this is not what I thought it would be. I was reading the other day about Sir Edmund Hillary, the man who first conquered Mount Everest. He and his Tibetan Sherpa guide climbed to the summit of Mount Everest. You know when? It wasn't back in the dawn of civilization. You know how long that mountain has been there? Since God created it, whenever he created it. I don't know if you literally accept the number of years. Excuse me, I'll be pulling my pants up today. Beats the alternative. I could have worn suspenders. I should have worn suspenders. My dad tells about when he pastored a church in Bessemer, Alabama. There was a heavy set guy at his church. And when he came to the district convention, lots of people there. He came. And they just started going around like we do, you know, shaking hands and hugging each other. Well, he did, but he didn't have on any suspenders. And he didn't have a belt. So they're hugging each other, and this guy's no suspenders, and his pants just slid right down. And the guy's hugging him so much, and he's trying to get a hold of his pants. Dad said he came back the next night, he had on a belt and suspenders. He was prepared for that hugging. Well, I've got the belt, so it'll work. So here we see, first of all, the quitters. They fold up their tent, they pick up their marbles, and they go home just as soon as they realize there is a mountain. And there is a mountain. I'm telling you that. They're the ones who opt out and cop out and act out and drop out. So life for them is, which was an ascent up the mountain, is no longer an ascent. They desert that inner drive to move them forward, and they abandon and abort their dreams. They're often bitter. They're often confused. They're resentful. And they're offended at anybody else who will climb. Listen to me. You pass a quitter, and he's going to say, what in the world do you think you're doing? We know that God has a place for us to go. And for the quitters, you'll just have to catch up. Because we're going to go forward in Jesus' name. So praise God for that. So rather than focusing on their goal, which is the top of their mountain, they refocus on a place somewhere below that and say, I think I'll just hang out here for a while. Or they go home. They are the quitters. And then there's another group. There are the campers. They're the campers. They're the ones that say they've had a little bit of success and they get tired and they quit. They'll say, this was good enough and I've done more than most. Listen to me. And I've done more. I've gone further. I've ascended higher. I've done more than most. and they sit down and they quit and they refocus themselves from the mountaintop to a smooth and comfortable place on a plateau away from pressure and adversity. And they say, here, I've done all that I can do right now. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There's more that we can do, and God will help us to do it if we'll just do it. They're like I say, they lose their focus on climbing the mountain, and they gain focus on being comfortable, predictable, and furnishing their tents with all manner of goods so that they can be comfortable. They don't climb the mountains. They say something like this, well, it's better than most. Maybe it's not as good, but it's as good as I can do. We all know those play it safers. Amen. They've done it. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I was preparing this sermon, I thought, Gary, you can't preach this sermon. You quit. You just quit. Now you're telling people don't quit. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I didn't quit. I'm not going to quit. I had to quit pastoring because I couldn't walk. And the overseer said, you might consider not pastoring. He didn't kick me out, thank God. But he just said, you might. I said, oh, we were out for breakfast, and, you know, he's always being nice. And I said to him, Brother Jones, so what you going to do with me? You know, he kept talking about this and that. Well, what are you going to do with me? I wanted to know. He said, well, Brother Gary, I love you and I want you to pastor, but I don't think you're able right now. I'm going to give you some time off and I want you to recuperate. Whatever God has for you after that, come on. And I'm getting better. I'm praising God for that. Larry, or my son Greg said, come on up if you can. And I came up. The overseer said, if you get better, let me know. I'm going to let him know. So, well, I thank God for the climbers. I pray God they hang out with other people who have abandoned their climb, and they roast marshmallows, and they sing Kumbaya, and they hug each other and compare stories, compare victories. I got some to compare, but it's not going to get me to the mountaintop. Do you know that? Going on with the Lord is what's going to get me to the mountaintop. They put leather sectionals and jacuzzis in their tent. Campers see that the campground is a permanent address. Climbers see the campground as a base camp on their way to the top of the mountain. Amen. There's nothing wrong with stopping in for a little R&R. There's nothing wrong with sitting down for a few minutes and say, whew, I can make it now. I'm going to take a break, but I'm not quitting. I'm not resigning. I'm not handing it all in. Jeff, I'm going to go on. I may have had a break. I may have had a breakdown. But I want you to know we can go on up the hill for the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, such a climber. You know the name Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was a great inventor, a very brilliant man, a bright mind. Okay? So here's what he says. Okay? Thomas Edison said he invented, let me just share with you some of the things here in my notes. He invented the incandescent light bulb, he invented phonograph, the microphone, batteries, and a host of other projects were trying to come to light in his life. But he was trying to make an alkaline iron battery. It took him over 20 years to make a battery that was lightweight and would work. 50,000 experiments before he found one. 50,000 experiments that didn't pass, that didn't work, until he found one that did work. How many of you would be willing to say, I'm going to keep this up. I don't care if it takes my lifetime. I'm going to keep this up. 50,000 opportunities to prove what didn't work. And that's what somebody said to him. How can you do that? How can you keep doing that? You failed and you failed and you failed. He said, I never failed. I had discovered in my life 50,000 things that don't work. Well, that's the way it is in our service to the Lord. Every time that we strike out, We sometimes strike out. But God is there for us to help us, and we don't strike out. But you know, one victory is enough to keep us going. Thomas Edison, after 50,000 experiments, created an alkaline battery that could fit in your flashlight and in your portable radio and all the things that we had, because he didn't give up on the 49,000th thing that he had going. Friends, let me just say this to us. Don't give up. Don't give up. Victory could lie just ahead for you. Do not give up. So the climbers are the ones that say, no matter what, I'm going to go through. Praise the Lord. So we continue to look. What about those that are climbing? Those that are going forward, that are ascending up unto the mountain of the Lord. Thank God there's still some of us, some of you, who want to go to the top of that mountain. And I thank God for you. And I praise God for his blessings. Let's just take a few minutes, and I'll just take a few minutes. We know that in our walk, sometimes it gets treacherous, it gets tedious, it gets hard, but God is there for us every time. So let's just think about what God has called us to and where we're going in him. Would you do that with me? We want to talk about these campers and these quitters and these climbers. Amen? So the scripture said, who will ascend? They said, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to go there. By God's grace and God's help, we'll go to the top of the mountain. Let's look for a few moments at the climbers, okay? Did I tell you? I don't think I told you this. That on May the 29th, 1953, that Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest for the first time ever in human history. Now, I don't know how long ago that was. I don't know how long ago it was. If we can count it literally, it was that long. Praise God for that. But whatever time it was, the mountain hadn't been scaled. The mountain hadn't been climbed. Sir Edmund Hillary took that Tibetan Sherpa guide, and they went up that mountain. It took them 70 days to climb the mountain. 70 days to climb that mountain. But you know what? They climbed it. They were there. They got pictures. Actually, Sir Edmund Hillary has a picture of his guide climbing the mountain. So he didn't let them take a picture of him. But anyhow, he was the one. Let me tell you something. Climbers are dedicated to the lifelong journey. They intend to live life to its fullest. They don't just pack up a picnic lunch. It wasn't that Sir Edmund Hillary was walking along one time in Tibet and saw that mountain and says, hey, it's only 2:00. Let's run up the mountain. Friends, you don't get there that way. Let me tell you how you get there. You dedicate yourself to it. Can I say this? You obsess about it. You obsess about it. You get so excited about doing the work of the Lord that you actually obsess about doing God's work. And so you climb the mountain and you make there that your opportunity. Now, we quit over a lot of things in our life. Do you hear me? We quit over a lot of things in our life. We quit. First of all, sometimes we don't even start. Because we've got excuses. We've got, what's the song we sang the other day? Other people's got excuses. I've got a reason. And that's how we look at our life. We've got a reason. And your reason is I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I don't have enough education, those are the excuses. There are no reasons for this. And those excuses. I don't have what it takes. I come from the wrong side of the track. My parents never gave me an opportunity to really make something of myself. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I lost some weight, so I'm going to say that, okay? 25 pounds ago, I didn't talk much about that. But I do now, because you know what? I'm not too fat, and I wasn't too fat then, and you're not, because we've still got places to go, and excuses just won't get us there. My wife's cousin owned a lawn care business. He had a bunch of people working for him, and he said he trying to motivate his guys, and he was saying to them, you know what? You can make this. You can do this. And one of them said, well, you say so, but my daddy got killed in a street fight, and my brother got killed, or whatever, you know. He said this. This is what he said to the boys. My brother died in my arms from a gunshot wound to the heart. I held him while he died. I said goodbye to a very good friend of mine. Don't tell me that you can't make it because somebody died. Somebody lost out in your life. You can make it. You can make it because God can help you make it. So in that ascent up the mountain, we continue as no matter what the regardless of the advantage. I'm sorry. I learned to read. I got where I could read. I got my nose fixed and my mouth quits working. But just here's whatever our achievements or lack of them, we can go forward in Jesus' name. The climber embraces change and challenges strong faith. They are tenacious, resilient, and determined. They get knocked down. My nephew, my great nephew, came home from school one day. They just moved to Miami, and it was a different environment. And Isaac came home one day and said to his dad, Dad, this big bully knocked me down at school today. And his dad said, well, Jason, what did you do? He said, I got back up. What do you do when you get knocked down? You get up and climb the mountain. You don't let obstacles. You don't let temporary. That does not become your life. That does not become your life story. It's a picture snapshot in time, but it's not who you are collectively. You get up. I've been knocked down. Many times I've been knocked down. But you know what? God gave me grace to see the top of the mountain and not take it an excuse or an advantage of a little clear spot. Well, this might be good enough for me. I got hit in the eye here the other day by some wayward person. Did I let that stop me? No, I got up. Well, I didn't get right up. I couldn't get right up. But this person helped me, and God helped me, and I got up and kept on climbing. That's a funny story. I won't go there right now, but know this, that God is there for you. No matter what happens, you can make it if you'll just follow the leading of the Lord. Amen? We don't quit. That's my point. We don't quit. Let me ask you this question in closing. That doesn't mean anything, by the way, in closing. The kid went to church with his friend, and when his pastor started to preach, he took his watch off and laid it on the Bible stand. And the visitor said to the kid that went there all the time, said, did he just take his watch off? He says, yeah. He said, what? What was that all about? He said, not a thing. I take my watch off, but it doesn't mean a thing. But I just want to tell you this, that you may want to quit sometime, but we're not quitting. You're here today, 25 years later, not because you quit. It's not because you couldn't have quit. It's not because you didn't pass many smooth plateaus that you could have camped out on. You worshiped in Debbie's living room for a while. And then I remember you worshiped at the firehouse up in Elwood. Is it Elwood? And then you worshiped at the store in Jackson. Now here, no place to quit. It took a lot of alterations and things, but you were there to see it through. And God has seen it through with you. I'm going to tell you, God is charmed. God is enhanced by people who won't quit. And I thank him for that today. I thank him for that today. We're not quitters. We're not quitters. Those that win and those that don't usually face the same obstacles and the same difficulties. But some push on and some give up. Don't be the giver-uppers. Please don't. Don't be the givers. Let me ask you some questions here. How many of you have ever quit on something that you wish now, 10, 20 years later, that you hadn't quit on back then? Huh? Hand got a hand? Yeah. You wish you hadn't just quit so quickly. Huh? Maybe it's a job. Maybe you walked, maybe school. Maybe you thought, well, listen, when I had a member of my church in Alabama who's suffering from memory loss now, and you sit by him, you're going to hear a story over and over and over again. And he tells me all the time, Pastor, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I only went to the 9th grade. So we eat a little bit. Pastor, I'm going to tell you this, I only went to the 9th grade. It obsesses him. He obsesses over the fact that he didn't fit. But I did good. I made a lot of money. I did a lot of good. But I just didn't go. I wish I had my education. I wish I had gone. I wish I. How many of you know about I wish I had? I wish I had. But you didn't. Sometimes it's possible to go back and redeem that time. Other times it's not. You have to let it go. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it is that you've given up on, don't. Let me just tell you a resolve you need to have. Quit being a quitter. Would you say that with me? Quit being a quitter. Now, I want you to say that to yourself. I don't want you to say that to your wife. Don't say that to your child. I'm going to tell you this, Chris, okay? You hear me? Don't quit. I don't know where you are. You a junior? Oh, man, you're a big boy. Don't quit. Otherwise, you're going to be as old as my buddy in Alabama, 88 years old, and still telling me, I'm sorry, Pastor, I am sorry I quit. I only went to the 9th grade and I quit, and I'm sorry I quit. Let me tell you something. There's no place for you to quit. Hallelujah. Jeff, don't quit. Wherever you are in life, and I know you're laid off right now. Listen, don't worry about it. I mean, worry about it. Yeah, because you're gonna come to our house and eat. I know. But don't, let me just tell you this, God has a plan for you, and quitting is not in your plan. I'm looking here at my friend Angelo Traficano, 90 years old. He was my Sunday school superintendent and bus driver, and I was telling him today, he said, I've done pretty good. All those years of driving that church bus, and I never had a wreck. Did you never have a wreck, Angelo? Did we pay off a bunch of cops or something? Okay. No. Okay. But I told him, I said, I know what this is about you. I've seen you go into somebody's house as a church bus driver and go in, and if the kids aren't dressed, you'd get them up and dress them and wash their faces and get them ready to go to church. And here he is, 90 years old now, and praising God for what God has given him. No place to quit, right, Angelo? No place to quit. Your brothers, Frank and all those others, they went on to glory. But that didn't give you a place or an honor, a place to quit. We go on. We give God the glory and we go forward in Jesus' name. Maybe you quit a job. Maybe you quit school. Maybe you gave up too quickly on a relationship. Maybe you could have done more about keeping that one whole. I always tell people when I'm counseling, if you would invest as much as you can invest in maintaining and keeping and enhancing and building your relationship as you will, trying to build a new one, you'll make it. You can make it. But it's just a matter of priority, and it's a matter of keeping up. And I told my son, I said, here's what I always say. This is not a house of condemnation. This is not, if you're here and you've got 7 husbands or wives, you're welcome in this house, and you're welcome in the kingdom of God. So, it's not about that. It's about, I'm not going to quit this time. I quit that time, and I quit that job, and I quit that education, and I quit. And people give up on God. People give up on God. I heard George say yesterday, I believe, that he served the Lord, and then he slacked off for a while. And when the church came here, he came back and renewed himself to the Lord. Don't quit. My God, what do we quit for? It's just something we'll have to do over again. I want to encourage you today not to quit, but to serve the Lord with gladness every step of the way. God bless you. Don't quit.